Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Amen. We trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his word.
Well, thank you again for your welcome. It's really lovely to be here to have the opportunity to come and share in your service. I remember a long, long time ago, when I was just a young boy, growing up in our home, we had a fantastic book in our house. It was a huge, big volume, like an encyclopedia. And often, I would lift this book off the shelf, I would sit on the floor, I would open it up, and it was full of these lovely coloured pictures and these great stories. And in fact, it was a children's Bible. And I loved this children's Bible. And I could open it up and I could read about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. Then I'd turn over a few pages and there was Daniel in the lion's den. I'd look at the pictures, imagine what was happening, read the story. Then turn over some more pages and there was Jesus feeding the 5,000. Then I'd go back and there was Nehemiah building the walls of Jerusalem, and there was Joseph, and there was David, and there was Moses, and it was great. I loved it. I'm sure I spent hours sitting on the floor reading through these Bible stories. Wonderful. But the problem was, now I can look back, the problem was I never really got the big picture of what the Bible is really all about. And it wasn't until many years later, when it came time to kind of, you know, study the scriptures seriously, that I began to realize the Bible isn't just a collection of stories that I can turn to in time of need. Do you know, if I need blessed, I turn to this chapter. If I need encouragement, I turn to this passage of scripture. If I need challenge in my life, I turn to these verses. And in a wonderful way, the Bible does do that. Somehow God takes what happened thousands of years ago and in a very relevant way applies it to my life today. But In the end, the Bible isn't so much a book about me and my needs, but rather about God and his plans and purposes for this world. And I think you'll find, as you read through the scriptures, that God's plan, from start to finish, God's plan is to bring the nations to himself. He wants the nations of this world to worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all these different Bible stories and accounts and events just serve to underpin that central, unifying fact, the fact that God must be worshipped. Now, if that's true, then it brings some implications into our lives. I mean, for starts, I need to think carefully about how I pray and what I'm praying for. I need to think about how I give and what I give to. I need to think about how I spend my time, my energy, because really in everything I do, my whole life in some way must be focusing in on this point where I'm seeing the nations come to worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you know, when I became a Christian, and when you became a Christian too, but when I became a Christian, I found that certain responsibilities were placed upon me as a Christian. I just want to mention two of those responsibilities this morning. Two responsibilities placed upon me as a Christian. Okay, the first responsibility placed upon me is the fact that I must be attractive, okay? I must be attractive. Now, I know what you're thinking. Before you say anything, I know what you're thinking. But it's my job as a Christian, and it's your job as a Christian, to draw people in, okay? That was Israel's responsibility. That is your church's responsibility. To be attractive, to draw people in, to point them to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the scriptures, there's a book called Ruth. It's a beautiful love story, yes. But in the end, it's about bringing this Gentile girl into his people. This girl, she wasn't from Israel. She was from the nations. But it was God's stated purpose that Israel should be attractive to the nations, like a magnet drawing people in. And this girl who was so culturally, linguistically, ethnically a million miles from Israel was attracted. Not especially because Israel was great, but because she saw God in the people. Then remember Naaman, Syrian army captain, here he is, suffering from leprosy. Knew nothing about God, but he was attracted by the witness of a little slave girl who dared to open her mouth and share the good news with him. Then it carries on to the minor prophets. Of course, Israel had been in captivity. God had brought them out from Babylon, and he set down this remnant, and he said, I'm going to bless you. Bless you like you have never been blessed before. Then Zechariah picks up on the story. And Zechariah says, in those days, 10 men from all languages and nations will take hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you. Being attractive, you see. And congregations where God's presence is evident, God's grace is evident, will draw people in. If you're living a godly life, a holy life, you will attract people who find something different about you. Something they maybe can't quite even put their finger on, they can't quite explain, but they find something very different about you, something attractive. Attraction. Not me, of course. Maybe not you, but attractive because God, by his Holy Spirit, lives within us. So my first responsibility is to be attractive. My second responsibility is to be expansive. To be expansive, to move out. In the scriptures, in the Old Testament, you find that Joseph ended up in Egypt. Daniel went to Babylon. Esther went to Persia. Jonah went to Assyria. And those were the worst places of the day. Those were today's equivalents of North Korea, Saudi Arabia, the Yemen, Vietnam. Places where there's little or no tolerance for God's people. And yet it was to these places that God deliberately took these people and placed them there. Because it was his stated purpose that the nations should come to worship him. And for that to happen, God had to take these people and put them in tough circumstances to be a witness for him. Now it seems much easier to be attractive, doesn't it? Much easier to sit week after week, go through the routine, sing the hymns, listen to the sermon, go home and have your Sunday lunch. Much more difficult to be expansive. Much more difficult to move out and share the gospel in tough places where you might not be made especially welcome. But then you come to the New Testament and Jesus comes along. And Jesus kind of says things very straight. Jesus says things just the way they are. And Jesus kind of sets this up right centre stage. And Jesus just says, go. Jesus says, go. And you know, he doesn't say, go to your friends. He doesn't say, go to your neighbours. He doesn't say, go to your workmates. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Get the gospel out there so the peoples of this world come to worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what missions are all about. That's why I'm involved in missions. That's why your church is involved in missions, because it's vital, so important, people have the opportunity to hear the good news and come to know him as Saviour. And the fact is, people are searching. People across the world are searching, looking for peace in their lives, looking for forgiveness for their sins, but they've never heard the gospel. So the only thing they know to do is to cry out to a lump of stone, a piece of wood that cannot hear, cannot speak, cannot do anything for them. And that's not a new thing. That's gone on for a long time. Read Psalm 115. It says, our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. But their gods are made of silver and gold. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk. They have eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, mouths but cannot speak. The fact is, millions upon millions of people are crying out to those kind of gods today. And we have the privilege of coming here this morning to worship one who is alive. One who hears and answers a prayer. One who loves to hear our worship. I don't think I would have come this morning to pray to a lump of stone. But the fact is that's what people are doing because they're searching. I was way out in Ulaanbaatar, capital city of Mongolia. Buddhist country, Buddhist part of the world. They're on the edge of the city, they have this temple. A huge temple, must be 4 or 5 stories high. You walk up the door of the temple, look inside the door, and there's this idol, the statue of Buddha. And it fills the whole inside this temple. You have to kind of go like this to see up the way the top fits. Big golden statue. And I kind of looked in through the door, turned round to walk away, and coming up the path were a group of 22 school children. Coming two by two, hand in hand, they were probably 6 or 7 years of age, dressed in their colourful Mongolian national costume, led by the teachers up the path to the door of the temple. And I stood and watched as the teacher took them in through the door, showed them how to walk around the foot of the temple to get down on their knees. I heard these kids cry out, pray to a lump of stone that couldn't hear, couldn't speak, couldn't do anything for them. And how are they ever going to hear unless somebody goes and shares the gospel with them? Well, when I travelled up to northeast India, to Arunachal Pradesh, I had to stop for 2 days in the city of Calcutta. I don't know if you've been to Calcutta. There's nowhere like it. It's the most amazing place. The crowds are just overwhelming. The number of people is just incredible. And the poverty and the disease and the suffering is just unbelievable. I had to stay for 2 days in the city, waiting for a connecting flight up to northeast India. And I said to my friend John, John had lots of experiences in Asia. I said to my friend John, I've been inside Buddhist temples. I've seen inside mosques, but I've never seen inside a Hindu temple before. I'd love to just go looking through the door and see what's happening, because quite a bit of our work amongst Hindu people. John said, fine, let's do it. No problem, let's go and do it. So we made some inquiries. They put us in a taxi, drove through the streets of Calcutta. No idea where we're going, what was going to happen, where we were going to end up. And eventually got this place. Taxi driver said, okay, we're here now. So you step out of the taxi, and it's quite intimidating because there's just so many people pushing and shoving. Taxi driver called over this man. He said, these fellas want to see inside your temple. Oh, he said, that's fine, no problem at all, no problem at all. He said, take off your shoes, leave them across in the corner over there. So we said, oh, well, we can take off our shoes. Took off our shoes, left in the corner. Then he said, take these flowers and kiss them and touch them on your forehead. Oh, no, 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 we said, we're not taking part in this. We really don't want to take part in this. We just want to look through the door. Oh, he said, that's fine, no problem. He said, you go up the steps, you'll see inside the door of the temple. So we walked up the steps, and we soon discovered we couldn't turn back. There was just so many people coming behind us, pushing up the steps. It was kind of like a one-way system in through this temple. So you find yourselves inside the door of a Hindu temple. The first thing we came to was this wall, this big wall. It was covered with all these little Hindu symbols all over the wall. And this great crowd of people were banging the wall with their fists, and they were shouting and screaming and taking their flowers, and they kissed them, touched them on the forehead, touched the wall, kissed the flowers, touched the forehead, touched the wall, back and forth like this. And then you get pushed past that. Next thing you come to is this doorway, like a gap in the wall. And there were so many people pushing to see inside this doorway, I couldn't see what was going on. But eventually, a little space came, and I could kind of peep through the people, and I could see this room. And this room was filled with all this kind of incense and smoke burning up, and there was lots of money all over the floor, people had thrown money in. And in the centre of the room, there was an idol, this kind of statue. Now, I have seen lots of idols across Asia, but never in my life had I seen anything like this. This was the famous goddess, Kali. Her face was horrendous. Her face was terrible. I mean, you could just about see the evil looking straight out of her eyes. Her mouth was wide open, teeth all over the place. Her tongue was hanging way down the front of her. Had all these arms coming out of her tummy, all different directions. In one hand, she had a sword, which was covered in blood. In another hand, she was holding the head of a demon in her hand. Okay, and she had her foot on the head of a man, just his head on the floor, and she had her foot on top of him. I said to John, John, we shouldn't be here. Let's get out of here. This isn't a good place to be. Let's go. So you get pushed past that. Next thing you come to is the altar of sacrifice, this big slab of stone. And they're sacrificing goats, black goats, because black represents sin. So they sacrifice about 35 goats each day. So they put the goat onto the slab. They take a big knife, stick it into the neck of the goat right in front of you, kill the goat in front of you. I said, John, let's go. This is good. Let's get out of here. Then we suddenly realized the whole floor was covered in blood. Our feet were covered in blood. Listen, don't ever take this for granted, okay? Don't ever take this for granted. This is the most special thing to come here this morning, to worship together, to pray to one who is alive, who spilt his blood, yes, to pay the price for our sin. So you get pushed past the altar of sacrifice. Next thing you come to is this big pool. It's like a swimming pool, the size of a swimming pool. And it's filled with the water from the Ganges River. And it's filthy. It absolutely stinks. They change it every 2 weeks. But this pool is full of people who are scrubbing themselves with the water, okay, trying to cleanse their bodies. And round the edge of the pool is all these cups. And they dip the cup into the water and they take a big drink because they're trying to cleanse not only the outsides, but also cleanse their sin on the inside. Those people have never heard the gospel. And 2,000 years ago, just before he returned to heaven, the Lord Jesus issued his final command. He told us to go. So can I ask this morning, can I ask, are you honestly being obedient to that great commission? Are you honestly being obedient to that final command? Are you honestly doing all you can to be attractive, to draw people in, but also being expansive, sharing the gospel where it's never been shared before? Make sure this week you're doing something to reach unreached peoples with the gospel. Now, I've had the privilege of travelling a little bit in Asia. As I've travelled, taken some pictures, which we've put together into a kind of little 5-minute video. Because I want you to go home this morning thinking about missions, okay? I want you to go home for your Sunday lunch and talk about missions. Just the challenge of reaching people who've never heard. So put this little video together, and I think what I'll do, before we finish, I'll play this little video, and you try and pick out some points for prayer. It'll just let you see different peoples, different places around the world, and hopefully finish with a little challenge just to encourage you to pray for mission. Okay. So I trust this week you'll be attractive, right? Not because you bought a new coat, not because you had your hair done, but attractive because God by his Holy Spirit lives within you. And people see the difference by the way you love each other, by the way you care for each other, by the way you help each other, by the way you do business in town. People see the difference. And actually it's because it's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives and works within you. But don't just be attractive this week, you must also be expansive. Move out and share the gospel in tough places. Through your prayers, through your giving, through going, through sending somebody else, do something to make sure the peoples of this world come to worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And may the Lord bless you and encourage you as you seek to be involved in that task. Let's pray. So Father, thank you for time together this morning. Thank you for your presence right here with us. Continue with us now as we share fellowship together and as we head for our homes, take us to our homes in safety. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.